Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. I'm your host, John Paul Hurley, on Twitter at FFHercules. Joining me is my co-host, Izzy Elkafoss, the Pharaoh of Fantasy, on Twitter at DTC_IzzyE. What's up, Izzy?
What's going on? I feel like we've already recorded a podcast, now we're recording another one.
We've literally spent over an hour discussing podcast topics. Some of the topics have hit the cutting room floor that we'll probably have like in future editions, but we feel like we've got some good ones, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I felt like we had a good discussion about a topic that we didn't even record, so we're not going to record it again type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, that was the... I had a great name for that, too. I was going to call it... So the topic was going to be... whether or not you should throw in the towel in the season. I was going to call it ship it or ship it, because like the second ship it is championship, and the first ship it is like get rid of it, you know?
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good, really good.
We might have to do ship it or ship it in weeks to come. Maybe it'll be like it could be a recurring thing, because I've got a compelling team where I'm like right on the fence. I'm scoring a lot of points right now, but it's not very deep.
Shouldn't we change it to chip it? Because like,
yeah,
a lot of people call it the chip.
That would be a good decipher, yeah. Ship it or chip it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like how things come together sometimes. And that was the best topic that we had that didn't make the cut. Of the ones that did make the cut, we're going to talk about some breakout performances from week four. We're going to talk about some wide receiver. I'm going to call it like wide receiver volatility. There are some that are standing out, that are kind of turning up duds, kicking up daisies, right? Pushing up daisies. Is that what they say when you die?
I don't know. I've never heard that.
And we're going to talk about Joe Burrow, burrowing his way into the top 12. You like that?
I like that.
And then finally, we're going to finish things off with our weekly Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jonathan Taylor poll on Twitter. I think we did it 4 weeks ago was the first one, right?
Yeah.
If you want to see more of these, follow Izzy on Twitter, again, at DTC_IzzyE. He's always tweeting those out. I think you've been doing this for years, so it's kind of fun to watch the results.
Yeah, we can go back and look. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. So let's get into the topics here, unless you got any pointless jabber to talk about. Any pointless jabber?
No, I don't think so.
I got something.
Yeah, what's up?
I had a botched root canal earlier this year, and the tooth had to be extracted. It's pretty gross, actually. And I'm getting an implant put in, and I was surprised that I got implants before my wife did.
Nice.
Yeah, that was all right. My punchline.
Nice.
So we're going to jump into the topics. I'm going to go right in order. So like the first one is breakout performances of week four that we must highlight. And just since it's the top of mind, the most fresh since we watched the games last night, we're recording on Tuesday, by the way. And by the way, yeah, this should come out on like Mosier, our producer, has been really good with getting these podcasts out very quickly. So a lot of the things that we cover are still very relevant when the podcast becomes produced. But Robert Tonyan was the topic of discussion. Three touchdowns, became Aaron Rodgers' favorite target while Davante Adams was suffering and basically pulled himself out of the game, or announced that he was out himself. Robert Tonyan breaks out. Do you think this is something that's sustainable from him, or do you think this is like a flash in the pan kind of thing?
Yeah. Did you know that Robert Tonyan is now the tight end one on the season?
After one game.
Well, he's had... he scored in week two, and I think he scored in week three. I think he scored in all 3 weeks after not touching the football in week one. So he had 2 for 25 and one in week two. He had 5 for 50 and one in week three, and then he had 6 for 98 and three in week four, enough to get him the tight end one so far.
You must be looking at a different scoring format. I've got a pretty basic one pulled up, and it's got Kelce, Darren Waller, and then Tanya in third, but maybe you've got some other...
I think it might be half PPR, which is probably the issue.
Yeah, this is our home league. It's full PPR, nothing but you special.
The home league has 6 points for going over 100.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep, so that change it.
So that changes it, too. The thing that's crazy is I have no league that I currently play in that is standard one PPR. Actually, there's one. Let me pull up the stats. So my one league that I had that was pretty standard was moved over to Sleeper, and I have no other leagues that are not tight end premium.
Wow.
Or aren't point per carry or aren't some kind of weird format.
Wow.
So that do we have something to base it off of? I don't think we do.
ESPN, maybe? That's probably the most universal.
Yeah, we could look at ESPN.
The answer is, drum roll.
Travis Kelce at 1, 65.7. Tanyan at 2, 60.3. This is a full PPR format.
Yeah, so again, back to my question. Do you think this is sustainable?
I think the lack of receiving options at Rodgers' disposal will make Tanyan a legitimate player for the rest of the season. And beyond that, it's yet to be seen. I mean, he's an undrafted player. It is his third season. It takes tight ends a long time to really come along in the league. So I'm not surprised by that. And Rodgers seems to like him. And when you're tethered to an elite quarterback and that quarterback is, you're gaining trust from that quarterback, they tend to rely on you. Like, I feel like Tanyan's gained that trust, and it might have just happened. Like, the light might have gone off this week, and there might be a connection moving forward. So I have no issue whatsoever buying Tanyan, even at his increased value, despite me usually not buying into the hype of this.
Impressive.
Typically speaking, I try to sell the hype on things like this, but there's a couple reasons why I'm buying it. I should probably start at one before I go to two.
Start at one. Well, no, yeah. Start at two.
Should I start at two?
Start at two.
Okay. Two is there's really not that many tight ends in Dynasty that are at a price that you can acquire them where they can grow into a top 10 tight end. Like, I feel like the players that are in the top five, six, top five or six in Dynasty, they're already super young, and now the other guys are 27, 28, 29, where people start to shy away from them. So, like, we're trying to find the next guy that can jump into the top 10. Even though Tanyan isn't there in value, I think the room for him to grow into that is still there when you acquire him.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I was just wondering, like, I would imagine there's a smattering of owners that acquired Tanyan before the week just to stream him, or because they might have had a feeling with the absent of Davante Adams. Do you think that if he's a free agent in your league, what percent of your fab dollars would you spend on him?
All of it.
Like tight end premium. You think you'd go 100% because you feel like...
All of it.
Okay. You think that the season could be more than just a fluke. Okay.
Yeah. Which, I mean, the reason why I do... I'm the type of guy with my fab where I wait until there's an opportunity to get somebody that could be...
Robert Tanyan.
Right? He could be a top 10 player at his position.
Or like James Robinson would be another great example.
Yeah, JR, but that person was he was already scooped up before the season.
Before the season, yeah, but I think at the point when he was basically named the starter, Leonard Fournette moved on, I think people were dumping massive amounts of fab just to have him.
Which, that one, that was before. With James Robinson, I wouldn't have put it all because coach speak, we hadn't seen in the preseason, we have nothing to base it off of outside of what we're hearing from beat writers.
This is
and
different.
There's three running backs. It's a shit show, and he's undrafted and the whole thing.
I'm with that, yeah.
This is now, we've had 4 weeks, and we've seen 3 weeks of Robert Tanyan catching touchdowns, and his production's gotten higher every single week. There's no pass catches in Green Bay. I mean, Adams has been hurt. When Adams comes back, does Tanyan get hurt? Yeah, probably a little bit, but Lazard's out for extended period of time. MVS is nothing but a deep threat.
Lazard? I always said Lazard.
Lazard. Yeah, it's probably Lazard. Oh, okay. I usually call him Lazard, but I call him Lazard now. Lazard.
Mahomes.
Mahomes. You have MVS, who is nothing but a deep threat. I mean, I think he's proven that he can't be anything more than a guy that's going to catch 3 to 5 passes a game at best.
Right, I agree.
And you have the running backs who they relied heavily on. So I think Tynan still has a role, even when Adams comes back. And when Lazard comes back, sure, he may not see 8 or 9 targets a game, but at the tight end position, especially in premium, if he's looking towards him in the red zone, that's all you really need.
Yeah, that's true. And you're right. The cold hard facts is that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a 40 touchdown quarterback in 2020, and he needs red zone targets, and they just doesn't have a lot outside of Devontae, right?
Yeah, which leads me to point number one. When you're talking about the utilization of Tynan and how he's going to score his fantasy points, he can get you 6 points, even with two catches, he can get you 10 points because he's likely going to catch a touchdown. He's going to be used in a red zone. And the way that Rodgers gets his, it's funny because he usually has like 240 yards and like 4 touchdowns. Like, so he gets in the red zone and they don't always hammer the ball in. He just play action touchdown to a tight end in a goal line package. Right, we've seen it for a handful of years. I mean, almost a decade now, not even a handful of years, a decade, where he's not always racking up the yards, but he does score touchdowns efficiently.
Yep.
And that's where Tynan fits in. So I'm good. I mean, if you can acquire Tynan for a second, honestly, if you need a tight end, I probably would take the risk.
In tight end premium, I want to clarify.
In tight end premium, yeah. I mean, I would in one tight end league, it just doesn't move the needle for me to be acquiring tight ends. I just don't care enough about it.
Well, the funny thing is Robert Tonyan is the reason why in non-tight end premium leagues, it doesn't really matter who you have, because it's like somehow over the course of the last like 3 years, the tight end position has become very, very deep. So he's just adding to it.
Yeah. Now, if I'm a bottom feeder team, like if I'm currently 0-4, 1-3, I probably wouldn't be trading my second for Tynan. But if I'm middle of the pack or a contending team and I'm light at tight end, I would absolutely do it. It's worth the risk. If it bombs, you know, that's, it can go both ways. I mean, we could be looking in 4 weeks and Tynan could be worth a first in tight end premium. And we could be looking in 5 weeks and he's worth a third. But I think we've seen enough to where it's worth the dice roll on this for a late second, mid second, and hoping that it pans out.
Yeah, I agree. There you go. Pardon our exhaustive coverage of Robert Tonyan from the Green Bay Packers, but there it is. And by the way, we do have other podcast topics to cover, so we might have to move on here.
Yeah.
You good with that?
Yeah, no, I think we're done. I think we're good. I mean, it's the rare opportunity where I will advise buying somebody at a spike.
Yeah. And the only other breakout candidate we wanted to cover for week 4 was Damian Harris, the New England Patriots running back. Bill Belichick actually went to Damian Harris early and often.
He started
17 carries, 100 yards, getting the start. And I think you believe, I'm not quite sold on this, but you believe that people are going to be jumping on him pretty hard. In fact, I saw one of your tweets. You're asking if people believe that he'll be going for 4 firsts. I know that you're embellishing a little bit, but you believe that the hype is going to be real surrounding Damian Harris, but maybe break it down for us a little bit. What do you think is going to happen?
So I think that with Michelle being sidelined and Rex Burkhead being more of a, he's a jack of all trades, but not great at anything type of player. You have James White, who's exclusively receiving back. I think Damian Harris will get, you know, 15 carries a game, 10 to 15 carries a game. Ah, I think 15 is probably a fair number until Michelle comes back. So I don't know when Michelle is actually due to come back, but I do think Damian Harris is the best pure running back on that team, but I hate Bill Belichick. So if I'm a Damian Harris owner and somebody wants him, I would try to move Damian Harris. And if I can move Damian Harris in a second for a first, I would do that. And the reason isn't Damian Harris's talent. I've always been a huge Damian Harris fan. It's I don't trust Bill Belichick with running backs. I mean, we've had 10 years of 15 years dating back to Lawrence Maroney. And I have yet to find a running back in Bill Belichick's offense that has sustained any sort of substantial value on a year-to-year basis. So based on history, you as soon as you can get first-round value for Damian Harris, I think you can safely move him and just cash out the chips. I don't think he's going for first yet, but I think if he has another week where he has a solid performance, if he puts up another 100 yards, if he's getting 15 carries, I think he'll absolutely hit that number, hit that first round number. So yeah. I think keep an eye on it. It's something to monitor. I don't know. Like I said, right now I'd move the second and Harris for first and just cash in on it. But I think you could gamble and wait.
I can't imagine anybody even considering that. And like, I'm a little bit more realistic with his value than you are. I think, like, I think you believe people are jumping on this hype train. I just don't see it happening. And it's because of everything you mentioned. It's because they still have Rex Burkhead that they give touches to. They still have James White that they're going to pass to. They still have Sony Michel that will return after IR. By the way, Sony was deactivated to IR, just so you know. I'm not sure if you said, but you didn't know how long he was out.
But how long? I mean, is it a 3-week injury or is it a 7-10 week injury? Like, it's a short term IR.
Yeah, I'm looking at NBC Sports coverage of it, and they don't really break down the injury or the length. So I think I'm waiting for some more details on that before I can speculate or weigh in on it. But
the one thing that was disheartening about Damian Harris is that he wasn't in on the goal line. It was Rex Burkhead.
Yeah.
Like, when they got inside the 10, it was Rex Burkhead.
Yep. And then James White came in for some goal line plays, but on passing situation. But yeah.
But here's the thing with that stands out to my mind. It stands out in my mind. He was on IR for a few weeks. He wasn't playing, and then he got the start right away and led the team in carries. So having his first game of the season being a game that he's not being worked in, he's technically, when you're looking at the running backs, I mean, 17 carries is borderline workhorse at the running back. If you average 17 carries a game for an entire season, you're over 250 carries. And that's a big number. So like, yeah. If he averages that over time, right, if he's getting 17 carries for the next few weeks while Sony Michel is out, he will absolutely garner first round value.
Why not? Yeah. So I think we can move past the breakouts portion, because like, yes. We've got a couple other topics. So the next one, I'm going to call this segment wide receiver volatility. So like, there are some wide receivers that people were drafting very early in startups, people who are valued very highly, like in the top 10, top 12 wide receivers, who are turning up duds, dud performances. And conversely, there are some wide receivers that are completely breaking out that we want to talk about also. Like, and this is not just from week 4, this is throughout the course of the season. So I want to start things with our boy CeeDee Lamb. This is a guy that you believed in his ability, but you were a little bit concerned with his body type and the situation that he landed in Dallas. But he's really he's standing out even amidst Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, who, like, Michael Gallup has completely disappeared. Talk about CeeDee Lamb as a wide receiver breakout here.
Yeah, no, I mean, the issue that I had with CeeDee Lamb was everybody saying that he was can't miss, which I think is foolish to say. My comp for him was Keenan McCardell, who's, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he
was good.
He was very, very good.
Yeah.
So I was never anti-Lamb. I was anti-Lamb being crowned DeAndre Hopkins, which I think it's foolish to say somebody's going to come in and be a Hall of Fame player. So there are concerns. So I was just highlighting concerns.
Yeah, but you also, I know your other concerns were that he didn't test out physically to.
Yeah, that's my concern of why he's not a surefire Hall of Famer. Like, there's enough there to question what his upside is in the NFL.
Well, I want to clarify though. I don't think comping him as a Hall of Famer is really fair, because odds are he's going to be less than that. Like, you were against him being a star, I think.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, that's why I don't like when people comp players to DeAndre Hopkins unless like, it's a no-brainer. And I don't think CeeDee Lamb was a no-brainer comp to DeAndre Hopkins, and I still don't think he is. I think he's very good, and I think Keenan McCardell was in a very, very good football player, and I think CeeDee Lamb is a very, very good football player. But I don't know if he's going to be closer to Hopkins or if he's going to be closer to McCardell. in terms of being the guy. Now, here's the thing. CeeDee Lamb is playing with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. We don't know what CeeDee Lamb would do if he was the primary guy. A lot of people look at it and say, if he's the man and he's being covered by the top corners, how well does he do? You know, when they're moving around the offense, throwing him in the slot and moving him around, having him go up against the, you know, third best wide receiver or third best corners, is he going to dominate? Absolutely. And they're throwing the ball at a ridiculous rate.
Yeah.
When Dak is throwing for 500 yards a game and you're going up against the cornerback three every single week, or you're in the slot, you are going to put up points. So I don't know if we should crown CeeDee Lamb yet. I will crown any receiver that's in an offense where they're averaging 450 yards a game passing and throwing the ball 60 times a game. Like, yeah. I'm in. So I think we need to chill a little bit. I think CeeDee Lamb is a top 12 dynasty receiver. I think it's okay to have him there. But I do feel like the Cowboys' goal isn't to pass the ball 50 plus times a game. And once that number comes down, and once Dak gets to a reasonable 300 yards a game, which is still an absurd amount of passing yards a game, that's 4,800 yards. If you're passing for 300 yards a game, that's 4,800 yards in a season. And this dude's putting up 150 yards on top of that per game.
Yeah.
When that number comes down to 300, which is still a really good number, Cooper's going to come down. CeeDee Lamb's going to come down. Dalton Schultz is going to come down. Gallup isn't getting the market share. So I think Gallup is losing some of that market, especially last week. But even Gallup had a 100-yard game. Those aren't going to happen as often. So I think if you own a Cowboys offensive weapon right now, Cooper, Lamb, Schultz, and somebody wants to give you, pay a premium for that, knowing that the long-term expectation isn't 450 yards and 50 pass attempts a game, I think it's safe to cash in on a super high number if somebody wants to overpay.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, the only part of me that may disagree is and the reason my statement is going to make me feel really bad for Michael Gallup. I liked Gallup coming into it, but I think that Lamb has shown out well enough to make Michael Gallup expendable in the offseason, and I think that's probably something that could happen. Michael Gallup didn't have a lot of draft capital. It doesn't make a lot of money. There's no dead cap surrounding his contract. I think next year is the last year of his contract. I think CeeDee Lamb is going to force Michael Gallup out of a job in Dallas. And then the kind of volume that you see CeeDee Lamb getting right now is not sustainable because of how much they're passing. But I think if CeeDee Lamb is in that offense with Amari Cooper, and by the way, Cooper's staying. He's got a massive contract. The dead cap is ridiculous. Cooper, I think, has an out after the 2021 season, but you're going to see CeeDee Lamb and Cooper next year. I think that less volume, I think CD is going to have some great opportunity next year also. So I'm sold. I'm bought in.
Yeah, no, I have no issue with CeeDee Lamb. Like I said, I have no issue being CeeDee Lamb top 12, and I have no issue holding CeeDee Lamb. I have no issue with that. What my issue is if we're CeeDee Lamb is not going to put up 1,500 yards this year, 1,400 yards, whatever he's pacing, 1,400, because of the amount of Prescott, unless you feel, what is 400 times 16? That's 6,400. So if you think, and that's even reducing some of Prescott's yards right now. I mean, he's a little over 400. He's like 420 yards a game. So if you think Dak Prescott's going to throw for 6,400 yards this season, then sure, buy all the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, here's 6,400 sounds ridiculous, but is he like the Cowboys as a team suck? And they're in a division they're in a division where sucking could still make the playoffs. So they're going to be competitive. They're going to be in playoff contention.
Sure.
So I think they're always going to be passing like that. I mean, it may not turn up the same result week to week. So I think like 5,000 plus is almost a given if he stays healthy.
Oh yeah, 5,000 plus. Yeah, but we're still 1,400 yards short
I'm saying that's a given. That's like his floor.
I know, but I'm saying 5,000 plus is sure. Do you think he's going to hit 6,000?
I think 6,000 is a ceiling. 6,000 is 5,000 floor, 6,000 ceiling. Tell me I'm crazy.
Dude. Okay, anyways, let's move on. I'm not going to discuss
What's Dak's ceiling, passing yard ceiling? What do you think it is?
I'll go as far as 340. So whatever 340 is.
So 340 is 5440. So you're completely turned off by my calling his ceiling 6,000.
Yes.
By 500 yards.
You just asked me what the ceiling was.
Yeah.
Is that what the question was?
We're 560 yards difference, I'm saying.
That's a lot. I mean, that's almost two full games.
So we're 35 yards a game difference, and you're so turned off that you want to end the conversation.
6,000 is a lot. I mean, it's a big number. It's a big number for a reason, because nobody's ever hit it. So if you think Dak Prescott's going to break the all-time single quarterback passing season, and that's his ceiling, yeah, sure, fine.
A ceiling doesn't mean I think he's going to do it. That means I think that's the most he's capable of, yes.
Anyways, regardless, I think the passing options, we have to include some sort of regression into that, which is something that you've been a huge fan of in the past. Huge fan of in the past. Talking about X quarterback or X running back has this, that number is going to come down because it's going to regress to the mean, so on and so forth. That is a perfect example is this season. Now, Amari Cooper is on pace for almost 160 receptions. I think it's like 150, which is a massive number as well. So I think all of this stuff is going to come down. I think Cooper comes down. I think CeeDee Lamb comes down. But to the greater arching, I mean, the overarching point of all this, I think CeeDee Lamb, a lot of people are talking about him being a top five dynasty receiver right now that I've been seeing. And I think it's very premature, but I think having him in the top 12, top 10 is very reasonable. Where do you have him?
CD?
Yeah.
Very reasonable, but I think that the top 10, top 12 projection would be a good... I'd be comfortable buying him at that price, because I think that after the season's all said and done, I think he'll step up in the offseason even more with, again, my assuming that Michael Gallup could change things, but also once people see his full season, like as a whole, they're going to realize that like what a great rookie season it was. There's all these implications. He'll gain some offseason hype. So I think that he could be like a top six to eight wide receiver in dynasty startups next year. So I'd be very, very happy with the 10 to 12 right now. Yeah.
Here's a question. And where would you put CeeDee Lamb? Like, let's go through this list and tell me who you'd rather have over CeeDee Lamb.
Deal.
Michael Thomas.
You can skip the first, like, yeah.
Okay, so you'd rather have Adams, Thomas, Hill, Hopkins, Godwin?
Yep.
So you'd rather have those five for sure over Lamb?
Yes.
Metcalf?
Metcalf.
Evans? Cooper? Diggs? Any of those?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, now we're in his tier, though, you know? I'd lean those other three over CD at this point, but now we're kind of in the right conversation.
So Diggs or CD?
Diggs. I'm unreasonably higher on Diggs than most.
Okay, Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, that's my Mendoza line. They're about even.
Okay. Do you have anybody like McLaurin, OBJ, AJ Brown, Juju, any of those guys with Lamb?
I'd say OBJ maybe. I was always an OBJ optimist.
Okay.
And like, it's nice to see it come to fruition. I don't know that OBJ can do that again, but I'm optimistic with OBJ.
Okay. So you have him right around 10 to 12, which you said. So that's on par. I have him a little higher than that. Like, I would take him over DK. I would take him over Evans. I would take him over Diggs. I'd probably have him probably 7.
Yeah, he's in that tier. I wouldn't argue that. He's definitely in that tier. And the funny thing about this, like the 7 to 11, oh, thank heaven, is that that's a very flat tier. I would be fine with any one of those guys jostling for their position in that spot.
I will say, if I'm rebuilding right now, and I'm looking at this as what receivers would rather have in a rebuild, I think outside of Tyreek Hill, Godwin, and... Honestly, outside of Tyreek Hill and Godwin, I don't know if there's another receiver that I would rather have than CeeDee Lamb. Obviously, I wouldn't do those straight up for CeeDee Lamb, but right. I think those would be
a target.
Those would be the three guys that I'd be comfortable trying, that I'd be actively trying to acquire if I'm rebuilding.
Yep, I can agree with that.
Is Hill, Godwin, Lamb, Metcalf, which is who we're talking about next. Should we talk about him now?
We could. I just wanted to cap something off, though. I was looking at Dak's stats on the season. He would only have to average 359 yards a game more
only
to finish with 6,000 on the rest of the season.
Only, though?
Sure. I mean, you know what he's already averaged, so he's averaging 422, so he'd have to come way down.
But now he'd have to keep averaging 360, what is the all-time record?
Peyton Manning, 5,500.
5,500.
Yeah.
So he'd break that record by, if he, not only that, let's say we're looking at, he's at what, 1690 right now, right? And he's got 12 games to go. So if he averaged 360 for 4320, right? So, and you said he would be at 6,000 after that. And if he averaged 360 for an entire season, he'd still shatter Peyton's record by 260 yards. Let's say he would comfortably break. He would undoubtedly break the record with one game to go. Like, he would absolutely have the record broken with one game to go. Like, he wouldn't average 100 yards in the last game or whatever it is.
Right.
So, or he wouldn't put up 100 yards. So, like, that's still a massive number at 360. Absolutely massive.
So I'm doing some quick math. Do you want to know how many yards Peyton Manning had through his first four games the season when he broke the NFL record?
Yeah.
1467.
Okay, so he's 200 yards behind?
More than 200 yards behind what Dak is on right now. And the thing, this probably could have been the same with Peyton Manning in 2013, but the thing with Dak and why I'm leaning on the such a heavy ceiling is because I don't see anything changing. Like, it's like I just feel so bad. Like, their organization, like, is, their team is so bad. I shouldn't say their organization, they're very high valued, but their team is so bad. Like, they're going to be negative game scripts all season.
Not necessarily, because they're still going to be playing against, you look at who they've played. Seattle is a good team. You look at the Rams, they're a good team. Cleveland is a team that scores points. I mean, they put up 30 points a game in three straight games.
Yeah.
Maybe four. I think it's three. So they're playing against teams that have offensive, like Atlanta has a good offense. So once they start playing the Giants, once they start playing the Redskins, once they start playing Philadelphia, they're not going to have to keep up with the Joneses. And they're going to be able to run the ball, secure the lead, and just kind of grind out the clock. They're still going to pass a lot. I have no doubt in my mind they're going to pass a lot. But I don't foresee Dak Prescott passing 58 times, 57 times against the Giants and the Redskins and the Eagles.
Yeah. So what'd you say you thought his ceiling was? 54 something, right?
5,400, yeah.
How about our next bet? I think Dak will have more than your ceiling.
So do you think Dak Prescott will break the all-time passing record?
I think Dak will have more than 5,400 yards. I'll start there.
But, okay, do you think he'll break the all-time passing record?
I'm not going to say 55. I'm going to say he's going to have more than your ceiling. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I think he could break the all-time record. Yeah, 5,467 or whatever it is, but he's going to have more than what your ceiling is.
5,440 was my ceiling. So you have a 27-yard cushion.
5,440. Yep, there we go. So
27-yard cushion. Okay, perfect. You're not comfortable saying he's going to break the record, but you are comfortable betting that he's going to break my projection. Ceiling projection of 5,440.
It's all about your projection. I'm going to say he's going to beat your 50.
So I'm, just to be clear though, you do feel comfortable betting he's going to be over 5,440, but you don't feel comfortable enough to say that he's going to break the record.
I feel comfortable enough saying he's going to break the record, but I want to make your bet with a little bit less because it's better odds.
Okay, perfect. It's better odds. 27 yards. Okay, fair enough. The best part about this is he's going to come in and he's like going to break 5,440, but he's not going to break the record.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to happen. that's the best part. It's absolutely going to happen somehow. I think we've covered it, but even if he doesn't break the record, let's say he breaks 5,440 and doesn't break the record, he's still 1,000 yards short of his pace of current. I mean, his current pace. So that's a big reduction in passing volume and production for everybody in that offense.
I agree. But it's still 320 yards per week to go around. Yeah. It's still a lot. It's still a lot.
I mean, that's, if you take out Amari Cooper's average game right now, you could basically wipe Amari Cooper's production off the board on his per game basis right now. And still have more room to take out if he drops a 320 per game.
Yep,
that's how absurd 460 is, or 450 is, whatever he's doing.
That's wild. It's exciting football, at least, you know, it's fun to watch. Yeah.
Going back to the point, don't get fixated on what CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper are doing now. Think about what they could be doing moving forward.
Yeah.
And don't buy into the current production. Buy into what you expect the future production to be in a situation like this.
Yeah, okay. That's smart. I like that. So that was CeeDee. That was the first player of our wide receiver volatility segment. We might have to...
Let's cut out some of the... Let's just talk about DK Metcalf, because this is another conversation I want to have.
Okay, I agree. And by the way, this is turning into Dynasty Betcast now. We should almost change the podcast name. Yeah. Maybe every single podcast, we should have like a couple bets that come out of it, because these are fun. And by the way, for people that think that we're probably degenerates and we're spending our life savings on bets, Izzy and I are gentlemen, so we only bet about $5,000 or $6,000 per bet. It's $5.
Bet. Yeah, it's just more of a FU than it is anything.
Yeah, it's bragging rights, but we always force each other to pay up at least.
Yeah.
We have three bets. Awesome.
Yeah. So DK. Now, we look at Russell Wilson and his highly efficient season, right? He's only passed the ball 137 times on the season. He's averaging about 25 completions a game. So this is not a super high volume offense, but it's a very efficient offense. So if we're looking at what DK has done, he's only caught 4 balls a game. The good thing for DK Metcalf owners is he's averaging 25 yards per reception on those passes.
That's insane.
I can confidently say, and this is including Patrick Mahomes, this is including maybe not Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers, I think, would also be the guy, the type of offense where DK Metcalf could efficiently average 25 yards per reception and get enough volume on a week-to-week basis. Like, you look at Tyreek Hill, he's still volatile. Despite him being a super high-end deep threat, he doesn't hit 25, 30, 40. I mean, he doesn't hit those 40-yard big plays every single game like DK does.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a perfect marriage for DK Metcalf, because of the way how efficient Russell Wilson is and how good his deep ball is and how they run the ball and they set up these long bomb plays. So moving forward, I think that it's okay to have DK Metcalf as a low end wide receiver one, but I don't see DK Metcalf being a guy that is going to be a long standing wide receiver one. Like a high end, I don't ever see him being a top 5 dynasty wide receiver.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with volume. And despite the efficiency, and I get it, Russell Wilson's an animal, I still need to see more volume. I mean, the guy is only averaging 6 targets a game, at least like 6.1 targets a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough.
Yeah, that's insane. That's impressive.
It is. It's absolutely filthy. And a lot of people are saying, oh, DK Metcalf, a lot of people said the haters, this and this and this. I was against DK Metcalf as a player. It was similar to my Michael Thomas thing. I was lower on Michael Thomas than everybody until he landed with the Saints. And I was the same way with DK Metcalf. I was lower on DK Metcalf until he landed with Russell Wilson.
That's funny. I would have done the opposite, but yeah.
Because the way that he plays is conducive to a good deep ball quarterback. So I look at DK Metcalf moving forward and I'm saying, okay, if I'm going to only get 4-5 receptions and I need those all to be deep bombs, I don't like that as my top 5 wide receiver. Like, I need more volume. And do you think it comes with Russell Wilson? Like, I don't see volume ever coming with Russell Wilson. Like, he's not going to be a Dak Prescott where he's going to fling the ball 50 times a game.
No, yeah, because he'll never need to because of how efficient he is, yeah.
So we're looking at an offense right now with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf as really the only. We have Greg Olsen, who's 35 years old, and David Moore, who's basically a mini version of DK Metcalf.
Oh, Josh Gordon.
He hasn't played yet.
I know, but he's coming back, maybe.
Maybe. But I think that offense has still time to blossom with more pieces to it. I'm just nervous. I'm just nervous about the lack of DK's volume. And yeah. I'm a volume chaser when it comes to dynasty and just fantasy points in general. I think that volume is king and efficiency is very important.
Queen.
It's queen. Yes. Yes. I would say that's fair. Where do you have DK Metcalf in dynasty?
I'd have to take a close look at things. I mean, he's, again, we just identified that he's in that 7 to 11, old thank heaven tier. So he's in there.
Okay. Do you see him being a top five dynasty wide receiver?
No, I'm with you on that. I completely agree. I just don't think that he'll ever have the volume. Like he'll never be like a 10, 12 reception game guy. Like even for one game, it seems, you know?
So. Yeah. And another thing too, is like a lot of people are saying, oh, DK Metcalf. And my big concern was DK Metcalf isn't going to be a guy that's going to run all the routes and be a guy that's going to be agile and do the whole thing. And that's what prevents him from being a top five dynasty receiver for me.
Well, yeah, because people are taking top five receivers to be their number one. And DK has got such a phenomenal floor and a limited ceiling that you wouldn't want him on your roster to try to like bring home. Like if he's playing Monday night, and you need somebody to put up 40 points. It's probably not going to be as likely as,
like an Adams or a Michael Thomas or yes. Yeah. I completely agree. So that's my issue. And a lot of people are taking the victory lap on DK. I don't think many people were against DK Metcalf being a deep threat in the NFL. And he's phenomenal as a deep threat. And I don't think anybody denied that, but can he be more than that? I don't know if we're going to ever see him really exploding and being the guy that you talked about, running all the routes, getting 40 points per fan, like having that ability to put up 40 points in a game for fantasy. And I think that is still a question mark. And I don't know if it's ever going to be answered because it might not ever need to be answered. They just might continue to use him as a deep threat, a guy that just goes deep or catches crossing patterns and tries to use his size and speed today to the house. Mm-hmm. And that's what works for him. So
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting, but I'm on the sell side of DK Metcalf based on his start and how everybody's excited about him.
And I would say I completely agree with that too. And the one thing that you can victory lap on is that up until the season began, DK Metcalf was still being a little bit undervalued for what he's capable of. Again, with his floor and his ceiling. In fact, we had a startup draft, an industry one, with the Dynasty Nerds folks. We call it the Nerd Calculators League. We've referenced it a couple times on the podcast. I got DK Metcalf in the mid-7th.
Yeah.
And he was my wide receiver 3. So, like, he's producing phenomenally as a wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3. That's exactly what you want out of a 2, like a high floor, low ceiling, consistent points week to week. That's exactly what you want. But now that he's kind of like taken that step up and people are probably valuing him as a wide receiver 1, I would be looking to sell because I don't think that he's capable of carrying a team like that, like we're talking about. So,
yeah. And it's funny because I was in that situation where obviously in that league with you, and this was before the NFL draft. And I was debating between Michael Gallup and DK Metcalf. And we were talking about this.
Wow. Yeah.
And the reason why I went Michael Gallup over DK Metcalf for a couple of reasons. One, CeeDee Lamb wasn't there. And two, it's our league is point per first down.
Yep. You took Gallup 703. Yep.
So, and I went with, okay, DK Metcalf's not going to get me a lot of first downs. Based on last year, Michael Gallup is likely going to get me first downs. And that was the tiebreaker for me.
Yeah, and you're right. This draft was in March. I just wanted to reference that.
Yeah.
So it was before CD was drafted, like you said.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I mean, and it comes down to it. But yeah, DK Metcalf fell to 7th round mainly because it was a point per first down league.
Yeah.
So
and by the way, Gallup was rumored to be the Dallas wide receiver 1 because Amari Cooper was kind of they had some trade rumors circulating around the Dallas Cowboys organization, I think, at that time. So
yeah.
Gallup was hyped up for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, you went Chark Gallup at 703. Yeah, so I mean...
And Chark, I mean, I love Chark. So I would still take Chark. I would still have Chark ahead of... Like, I personally like Chark more than DK Metcalf in this format in this league.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I might like him, but he's probably not valued higher.
Fair.
I could probably get more for DK in this league than you could get for Chark. But I mean, I get it.
I agree. 1,000%.
I understand your preference, though, that's for sure. Yeah. But again, circling back to DK Metcalf, it's like, I might look to move him because this is funny because one of the topics of the podcast was the chip or chip, ship or chip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the team that I wanted to kind of bring up was this one. And this is the one where I'm like, I'm a top three scorer. I'm only 2-2, but I don't have very good depth at running back. It's like, I might want to flip this team a little bit. And DK could be the centerpiece of my flipping. Who knows?
So here's the thing about this league that people should know. We had a disrespect draft. So you don't own your first round pick. So in a league where I'm not owning my first round pick, the only assets I'll probably flip are aging assets that I could acquire via getting more draft picks or getting younger. But DK Metcalf is a guy that you could flip for a premium, but you don't necessarily have to. And I think there's enough value insulation with him where he's still going to be valued highly come 2021 rookie draft.
Yeah.
So you're not going to lose any sort of value. The one guy I would be trading on your team is a guy like, and I wouldn't Michael do Thomas. It yet, is Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do it yet for a couple of reasons. One, I'd like to see on your team what happens when he comes back. Does he kind of help you? Even though, your depth at running back is brutal.
Horrifying.
I mean, you got David Johnson, Antonio Gibson, and Mike Davis as your top three right now.
Yeah.
And then when McCaffrey comes back, you're screwing the pooch. So looking at this, I would wait for Michael Thomas to come back, see what happens with your team. Cause you have it doesn't benefit you to lose. It doesn't help your draft stock.
Yeah. So I could flip a wide receiver to get a running back. Cause I'm sitting on Michael Thomas, Juju, DK, Jerry Judy.
Yeah. Sammy.
Sammy. Yeah. So I've got
you can use him in a pinch. Yeah.
I've got some good wide receiver depth. So maybe I just need to do some trades, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I think whenever you don't own your own first round pick, I am never, no reason to start losing, but definitely reason to get younger for sure.
The first move of my rebuild would be acquiring my own pick back, though. So, but yeah, I agree with you otherwise.
Yeah. If you could do that, absolutely.
Yeah. So interesting. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of funny that topic ended up kind of floating its way in there. So.
Mm-hmm.
That was wide receiver volatility starring CeeDee Lamb and DK Metcalf. We only like to do abbreviated first name wide receivers so maybe next week we're going to have to talk about who's another one? AJ Brown.
Technically his name isn't abbreviated.
CD, that's true. Isn't CD isn't that like a playoff of his name being abbreviated though? I thought his first name was something else.
It would be cooler if his name was C.D. That'd be cool.
I'm going to look that up.
His name is like Sedarius or something like that.
Yeah, cause I think that the spelling of CD, they spell it out. It is abbreviated, but it's not the letter
it
C,
is
the letter D, right?
Sedarian.
Sedarian, yeah. CD for short. And I guess, no, yeah, so you're right. It's not abbreviated then. It's just CD is the short version of Sedarian.
And it's not even. It'd be CDA, wouldn't it? CDA? I mean, but it sounds terrible, CDA.
Which is why he didn't do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Or C-Day. C-Day would be cool.
C-Day.
What else, C-Day? All day, C-Day?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was wide receiver volatility. The last topic that we have, you want to go into the last one here?
Yeah, let's highlight it quick.
Okay, so tracking the dynasty value of Clyde Edwards-Helaire versus Jonathan Taylor. We've been doing it week to week. Starting week one, we were very curious to see how Clyde Edwards-Helaire versus Jonathan Taylor would come out in a Twitter poll. So Izzy posted a Twitter poll, and every single week since then, after each week's performances, Izzy has retweeted or like done a new poll, and the results have been kind of intriguing. So Izzy's going to take us through those results.
Yeah. So to recap, after the NFL draft, Clyde was always winning these polls. He was always just a little bit ahead or comfortably ahead. After week one, or before week one, it was Clyde. After week one, it was still Clyde. Mac was ruled out for the season, and then we started tracking it after week two. So after week two, Taylor won 67% to Clyde's 33%. So, two out of three people wanted Taylor. After week three, Jonathan Taylor dropped a little bit at 60-40 in favor of Jonathan Taylor. And then now, after week four, 57% to 43% in favor of Clyde.
That's That's hilarious.
And honestly, they didn't really have that much difference in production in week four. It's just, and I'm doing this because I want to see how finicky and how ridiculous dynasty owners are. And this is, people should be taking advantage of this. Every opportunity. This just kind of highlights how much you can take advantage of league mates on a week-to-week basis in Dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with me is people always say, like, oh, 1 week of performance doesn't change my value of this player. Oh, but it does. It absolutely changes. Absolutely. And this is just living proof of that. Like, whether or not you believe his value has changed, the general population believes that their value has changed.
Yeah. So, want to hear something interesting?
Yeah, I do.
Contender Dynasty, would you give up a late first for Damien and a second? Late first, 51%. Damien and a second, 49%.
Wow. Yep. Those people, the 49% are a lot more brazen than I am.
So you said that you don't see anybody doing it. Half the people would. And I think that's about right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if you round up, half the people would. But yeah, you just said 49% and you're calling it half. That's cool.
Dude, you're the worst. I hate you.
You're literally calling it half, though. You got to call a duck, man. It's 49%. It's not half.
I can call a too, and that's what you are.
Only 49% of people would call me a, I think, and that's less than half. And less than half is not half, for the record. The more you know. That's all we got this week. Thank you for listening to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at FFDynastyTrades is the main handle. Check out our website, DynastyTradeCalculator.com. Lots of cool tools and resources, not just the calculator. We have dynamic rankings that update daily, if not minutely or hourly. Is minutely even a word? I think it is. It's a word. We have the Trade Wire. You can pull in real trades that are being executed in your Dynasty Leagues to evaluate players on another level. Our player cards are next to none. They're elite. Check us out. Thank you for listening this week. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.